Well, we're setting in perspective with A Course in Miracles.
Yeah, we are.
Lots of that this week.
You could say that a miracle is perspective. A true perspective. And that the world of the ego in time and space is appearances, like Tim's picture. It appears that those lines meet in the distance. They never actually do. The perspective, the shift in perspective or perception is your whole way out. It's your whole way out of smallness, victimhood, of fixating in being a separate piece instead of enjoying the fluid ability and abstract ability of the whole. You are a creator. You are 100% God. You are not God, but you are 100% God.
We are of God, but not God.
Do you see the wonderful paradox there? That you will discover for the rest of your eternal existence. It is a joyous, joyous thing to realize that your eternal existence is to be the manifestation of God.
Did you mean it as a body?
Nope. Not as a body. The body is too limited to continue in a manifestation of God. You may take a very small adventure into a body, as you have. And in the hands of the Holy Spirit, even with the body and the dream of time and space, you will discover the power of God. Without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then you would simply chase your tail and circle in the darkness as you try to find happiness in what you've made. But you do it by you denying creation, denying the power, denying truth eternal. You would have to deny that in order to continue to follow the body's promises. That's why we need a spiritual awakening in order to continue our journey to happiness. You have the hunger for love. You have the hunger for happiness. The idea of eternity is only fearful if you think it means a lot of time. If you think
why would that be fearful?
It's fearful because in your current state, you would very likely think I'm going to get bored.
I haven't ever thought what it would be like to be eternal, but I've never had any thoughts that I'd be bored or otherwise.
Oh, yeah, you might think I'm not qualified to have more time than my body allows. If you gave me 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 years times 10 billion years more, years, that's a lot to deal with in my current state.
I guess I've never even considered time as any longer than this body and my next body and my next body, but I don't think of it in terms of ages. Just think of it as short term, and and I'm getting to a point where I only think of it as this moment, this moment, this moment.
So the closed mind, when we say eternity, thinks that it means a whole lot of time and that God is eternal, but it means there is no time. It means this very moment is all time ever was. And so you are free because the truth is eternity and eternal, and it means there's no time. So you can't be in a rush. You can't be late. You can't be early. There's no time for you to be a victim, for example. See, a victim is a matter of cause and effect. Something hurt, and then you processed how bad it might be, and then it came out, and it was as bad or worse, or not as bad as you thought, but either way, to some extent, you're out of control, and you felt victim-y. All that happens in time and space. Not in your abstract creative mind. But the goal isn't to be something that you're not already. You don't need to lose your awareness of yourself in order to be free. In fact, it'd probably bring you fear if you did. The course specifically says that's not the goal of this curriculum. It would bring up too much. If you were suddenly awakened, suddenly enlightened, it would probably bring up fear, and that's the opposite of our curriculum. So instead of suddenly popping you into awareness of your abstract true self as an extension of God that's eternal, but you can't, your brain can't hold on to that. It's impossible for your brain, your mind, your sense of self to expand to your true self. So instead, gently and lovingly, you make the return home through what you currently believe, but you see it through vision instead of eyes. You have a correction about what's going on, and you go back up the staircase step by step by step, see, rather than jumping to the top and saying, what? Nothing you've done is a sin. The idea that you have lost sight of God and eternity and that you don't even know how to share. You've lost the ability to do the most basic element of love. You've lost it. You have to substitute for love in this world, but you've lost the most basic essential gift of God, which is sharing and loving with your powerful creative mind. So what we're doing with the Course in Miracles is we're restoring to you the power of your gift of self, and we're doing it by removing the block to the awareness of love's presence everywhere. And one of the methods whereby this is done, the Course calls the holy relationship. The ego, very greedy and quick to act in its judgment and its hunger for its safety, pursues the special relationship, which is particular and has demands and has expectations and so on and so forth. Tonight we're going to start touching on the holy relationship, where the laws of the world don't quite apply. And you return to the laws of love. You return to your true nature to apply that to relationship. It is a call back to happiness. It's a call back to happiness, even here in the dream, even here relating in a relationship that absolutely started out special with conditions and hopes and dreams. But with the help of A Course in Miracles, you can have a translation of the relationship done through you to what we call a holy relationship, or now you observe the sameness rather than defend against the differences. You are embarking on a holy relationship. So we'll talk more about that. We'll touch on that. Luann, what do you got?
I have a question. I have my most vivid memories are things that I think have gotten me to being your student.
Oh.
And I am wondering if whether somehow we are led along in our lives in a way that get us to places where we need to be according to what the Holy Spirit wants for us.
There is no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do.
So I think that that's true for me. I think in this lifetime, even the bad things were things that got me to where I am now.
Each bad thing would be instantly translated to for your good.
Well, I don't know that I knew it at the time, but if I hadn't had them, I wouldn't be here. And remembering them, I wouldn't be here.
There's no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit translates instantly, both in current time and in your past memories, translates your memories for correction, for your good. There's no limit to what the Holy Spirit can do.
Thank you. So the answer is yes.
Oh, sure. Accept the present good. What do you got, Don?
Well, I'm just smiling here because I'm going to use different words to talk about what Luann talked about and different words that go along with what you're saying, because I was recalling that at one time, maybe a decade ago, I was graced with the message from Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have identified the source that way then, but in a kind of twilight zone, I was told, Don, I know everything about you and I love you. And so I was thinking, you know, that that even if I look back at all the things I did, which my ego would mostly call sinfulness, that if Holy Spirit was looking at, if I was having vision, I would see that there was love there, that it was love, mm-hmm. that it was love. Mm-hmm. And I guess, might I apply that same thing to now, with my behaviors and thoughts mm-hmm. that I would judge as not loving. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit could translate those. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really cool. What's really cool is that we were all kind of pointing in that direction in our own different language. We were pointing at the same thing.
So. The Holy Spirit can translate those, Don, but only all of them.
Only all of them.
Only all of them.
And thank
you. Yeah, the sun shines on it all.
You see, but that's part of our hard to learn lessons in A Course in Miracles is you want to think there's some the Holy Spirit can't translate. Some are so evil or so bad, or you should hide them, and maybe God will just forget it. All of them are useful. All of them.
It's all or none.
It's all, period. And none is just waiting for you to see that it's all.
No, that would be what I was meaning.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. Yeah. What do you got, Tim?
A couple of field notes, very practical. This week I've had some success in terms of managing to watch myself and not identify with self as my body. Mm. My body it's sort of a tool through which I act while I appear to be in this illusion. I see it from a little bit of a distance. I look at it in the mirror and I see a gray hair and I go, oh, so this image of myself that I see looking at me has a gray hair now. Big deal. There's going to be more of that before, you know, this particular act ends. So that ability to separate and to maintain that awareness with some energy, with some comfort was increased. And today's lesson, you know, the light has come, repeating that every 7.5 minutes or whatever the Holy Spirit's doing, you know. You know, every 15. The light has come. That really began to settle in. Observation, earlier on in the week, I was doing this exercise and I had a sense for almost a full day of being terribly alone. So if everything is just me, or it's all just in my head, or it's just my storyline or illusion, then that's a universe with nothing else sentient in it. I know that God's there. I know that that's an incorrect understanding, but that can be the experience for a time. That can be a transitional phase from one place to a more correct understanding. So that was my experience, an experience of extreme aloneness for a period of time. And then that dissipated kind of all on its own. I didn't have to do anything heroic. I watch my own thoughts. And especially at night, I go, this is nonsense. These thoughts are empty. They're completely bereft of content that has any value or that will, you know, and I just freely dismiss them. Just gone, baby. You guys are caught. It's the emperor without any clothes on. He's naked. Okay. And so I just say to those thoughts over and over again, you don't serve any useful function that I'm interested in having. So I call that back, you know, I call that energy back to me. Now, if making progress is what I might be doing, then the ego has like tripled its attacks on me whenever I lie down for a moment. And I am still, you know, and I almost nod off to sleep. And then I have what is an absolutely vicious pickaxe attack, you know, on my brain, it feels like, of my ego saying, you're worthless. You've reached this age in life and you don't have a huge nest egg and you're not beautiful to look at. And, you know, your teeth could be whiter and. So judging by the nastiness of my ego to myself in undefended moments, you know, so just a little earlier, I took a very brief, I just barely dozed off. And then I suddenly had one of those attacks and I woke up and my difference was I felt sorry for myself. I had compassion for Tim because this isn't nice what's going on with the ego.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. It's a form of suffering. Okay. And so it is good to be able to wake up and say, no, that's ego, and its signature is it hurts. It's painful.
You're dancing. I love the way you described that. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. I'm dancing.
Love the way you described that. Thank you. It was really great. From, you know, sort of the ecstasy type of feelings of your awakening and freedom, and then back into the body. And the contrast of feeling alone and, wow, like if this is all in my head, you use the same logic of your freedom, which is this is all in my head. All my problems are in my head. Therefore, I can, quote, give them up as easily as I made them up. This is the Holy Spirit talking to you. So it's a sense of freedom. But then the ego managed to get in there and say, if it's all in your head, you will always be perfectly alone. There is no other, and so you will never love.
Mm.
How cold and dark is that? Same logic. Of course, cautions us, you know, it's a caution at first, but it becomes a celebration later as you continue to awaken. That the thoughts of the ego are as powerful as the thoughts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They are as powerful, and you need to seek no further than your loss of the sight of God to prove it. Holy Spirit is still a small voice that waits for you to choose holiness, because you're busy with your powerful, infinitely powerful mind choosing separation, unholiness, and venturing into a body. Like you started out with your discussion, Tim, you say your body is just this chosen form so you can work out this being a separate individual.
Well, if it's not the essence of who I am, when it's time to let it go, then no big deal.
No big deal.
It's not associated with this incredibly violent, no, you know, because I'm falling into the pit, you know.
Have you taken off a wet coat when you come in from the rain?
Yeah. Well, it's possible, by the way, changing it just slightly, another field observation. I got in trouble for reading the course too much with my wife. She complained to me that my course materials are too readily at hand too often, and she would like to see me working from home with a little bit more self-discipline. Please put them somewhere away where I won't be glancing at. And I'm like, you know, so now it's like, what? I bring them under the covers with the flashlight with me at night? I mean, you know.
I would invite her. Like, I had to do with one of my bosses in Silicon Valley when I was going off to a retreat in India for 3 weeks, and I was like, I'm going. He says, you can't, if I let you go, I have to let everybody go. I said, boss, I'm going. I'm going to come back a better worker. I'm going to be a better, clearer head, peaceful, more empowered person to be higher integrity with you and this job and my entire life. But I'm going. And for your wife, I think you let her in and say, honey, this is peace of mind for me. This gives me the ability to open my mind to loving and sharing and patience and honesty and trustworthiness and gentleness and kindness, and helps me open my mind to be a better man.
I can't not do this anymore. The die is cast. You can't untake it out of the water. And then last observation is this morning I'm up at 3 or 4 in the morning. I can't sleep. I come downstairs quietly and I sit in front of my computers with the lights off and a candle, and I listen to a Dharma talk. You know, I've done enough course for the day, and I listen to an American who spent a long time in, you know, Southeast Asia in that tradition. And he's talking to some more advanced students about a moment that he calls the deathless, and it reminded me very much of the holy instant, in that he was trying to teach to them that what he called the deathless was a state that you enter into an awareness briefly. You would probably recognize the word jhanas, these ladders that you progress up of, you know, skillfulness or whatever. And then at the top, you are outside of time. He says you're outside of the skandhas, the heaps, the senses, the discursive thought, all of that. And awareness as you know it is gone. And you are literally outside of time. There's no past, there's no present. And so that was interesting to hear a different tradition talk, you know, at a higher level within themselves about a parallel idea in the Course of Miracles, the holy instant.
And I'd like it also to recognize that when you have a thought of being alone and that brings sadness, it is because you're in the separate side of the coin, okay? The unified side of the coin of being alone means that you would not be alone and that you could share with another. The separate side says you could be fractioned off from all things that you want and love. And there's fear. But you have to recognize that the idea of love and sharing and dancing and playing and communicating and creating is already happening. You can't undo that. And the other side of the coin, I don't know if this is making sense to you, the coin has only two sides, Tim. One side is alone and it hurts. The other is alone means that I can be together and share. I believe in sharing. I'm not getting it right now, but I know it's there. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
It becomes good news if you let the Holy Spirit translate it.
Right. And I'm glad the blanket is lifted slowly for us, because too much light too suddenly blinds. It doesn't illuminate.
Very good. That's right. This is called the light of
allegory. You know,
that's great. I love it. That's it. Very good, Tim. Very good. That's perfect. You got it.
Thank you for listening to that.
Yeah, you know, and everybody turn to 194. I'm going to have go right to Don here, but I want everybody to get to 194. We're just going to read three paragraphs for Tim, because he so beautifully illustrated what I call a vacillation. It's part of any spiritual path. It's part of any, even a self-help path. It's part of any healing of your mind, unless you have a sudden realization. You kind of go back and forth a bit. You know, you get the idea, but it's hard to practice, and your ego jumps in, you get afraid, and you go right back to darkness, right? And, oh, wait a minute, I could do better, right? And you go, and you do better, and you feel some relief. But then, vacillation, right? So I just wanted to have Jesus weigh in for Tim with a couple of paragraphs on this huge topic of the sense of being alone, because it, in your spiritual path, it's quite common for you to wonder, at least at some point, if I continue the spiritual thing, do I no longer get to, you know, love the way I know to experience my children or to play with another? Does it all become a big uniform white void with endless clouds and nothing happening?
You should not have said that, because I never thought that before, and now I've got it in my brain.
It's natural. I think it occurs to the logical mind. So 194, Don, what do you got? Oh, hang on a second. Let me unmute you. Yes, sir.
You wanted to 194 first?
Yeah. No, I wanted to hear from you. I don't want you to lose your thought.
Okay. When I first raised my hand, it was because the phrase came to me from the Course, and it goes something like, the ego doesn't believe or know that it is part of you or your mind or something like that. And it seemed like it was in the ballpark of what was being talked about.
Yeah. I wish I knew that.
And I'm confused about what that I'm confused.
Yes. That, there's a couple of places I could take you there, but someday maybe we will, where it talks about that the ego is in the mind. The Holy Spirit is in the mind. It all goes to mind. The ego and the Holy Spirit share the mind. One mind, your mind. They actually share mind. What they do with the mind is diametrically opposed, but diametrically means opposite directions perfectly.
So
as you become more into this, does what you learn from the Holy Spirit, how you practice, crowd out the ego from the mind?
Oh, yes. You prefer the Holy Spirit. As you waken, you have, lately I've been calling it a new emotion. It's just awareness. Awareness of your true nature comes up in you, and it starts to fill you. The light returns to your being, a lightness of being occurs, and you recognize that the ego is a darkness of being. It was heavy, it was threatened, it was worried, it had all sorts of problems. It was fun because of your adventure in actually being separate and having your own kingdom, your private separate kingdom you thought you could accomplish. Fun. But not true. And lacking the essential quality of, wait for it, love. You had to disconnect from love, true sharing, and a facility of sharing and love and being an extension of all that is. You had to cut that off in order to have a sense of being separate and alone. And you could solve your aloneness by finding another separate being and then negotiating to be together and patch up the loneliness, patch up the lack. Oh, it's great fun. It's just a game. It's a wonderful game. But you got a little too cold, didn't you, Bunky? Got a little too far away from the fire? A little too much rain all at once? Want some shelter? Is that what it is? Yeah. Hell yeah. And you found some comfort in your heart as we do this material. And you're going home now. Yeah. Do you want to say more, Don?
What's been coming to me, it's lacking for me, is I'm lacking that love. I'm lacking, you know, I'm understanding the material.
Yeah.
And yet I'm not feeling the love.
Well, there's a new source of depression that comes with your Course in Miracles study when you start to really get it. A new source of depression. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Yeah. And because it's pointed out a love that's written in black and white with such authority, it's never been any book I've ever seen. I mean, really, something has crossed dimensions here with this particular book. And I believe it. I believe in this Jesus consciousness. I have come to know it as true. And it's filled my heart. I can hear the echoes of home as I study this material.
Yeah.
Getting it. And it's depressing because your devotion habits and sensitivity, still based on this world.
Yeah.
It's natural. I'm kind of excited to hear you say those words. I don't want to celebrate because I know they're painful, but I am excited to hear them from my perspective.
I appreciate that.
It's very encouraging.
Yeah, I don't feel your words are not darkening.
Good. Yeah. There comes the dark night of the soul experience where you honestly know that the answer is not in the body. No matter how many lifetimes you could live, or how many love relationships or friends or money or success or buildings with your name on them you could get, it'll never cut the love that has touched you from a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
You know it's not here. So you turn away from the all materiality now is seen as a level, and it is not home. There comes a time when that becomes your honest truth.
The problem is,
just to finish the sentence, you don't know what is true. You know the world is not, but you don't know what God is. You can't see it. So you don't know. All you do know is that it ain't the world. Whoa. So it's not depressing, but it's confusing and it's dark as hell because there's nothing to see. Damn it. But you know that your eyes are starting to open to another dimension because you're not trying to see, touch, feel, right? This is opening. So
that's been very much my experience this week.
Good. Bravo.
It's encouraging.
Just to bring it to home.
Really encouraging.
Yep.
So 194, what's the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. So no 194. Tim, you start out for us. We're just going to read the three paragraphs here, the gifts of fatherhood. And we're talking about the idea, this aloneness idea. How honest it is. I mean, how honest it is. So let's start.
What'd you want me to read? Did you want me to read that?
Oh, we're gonna, you know, no, I'm going to have Tim start.
Okay.
The gifts of fatherhood. You have learned your need of healing. Would you bring anything else to the sonship? recognizing your need of healing for yourself? For in this lies the beginning of the return to knowledge, the foundation on which God would help build again the thought system you share with him. Not one stone you place upon it will be but blessed by him, for you will be restoring the holy dwelling place of his Son, where he wills his Son to be and where he is. In whatever part of the mind of God's Son you restore to this reality, you restore it to yourself. You dwell in the mind of God with your brother, for God himself did not will to be alone.
Emily, would you give us paragraph 2? I got your mute.
To be alone.
Just before you go there, could you just... I got to learn what I heard. To whatever part of the mind of God's Son you restore this reality.
To be alone.
We have to wait for Emily to come through.
To be separated from it.
She's sitting there looking at her screen. All right, Emily, you're going to be a passive observer for a while.
Your phone isn't working very well anymore.
Yeah, your audio's not coming through, so I'll mute her for now. Okay, Don, please go ahead.
I was just saying that sentence 5, in whatever part of the mind of God's Son you restore this reality, you restore it to yourself. And what we just talked about, you know, that the ego is part of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes, you know, my inclination is the ego mind.
I'm sorry. I thought I'm reading on page. I'm confused.
Perfect.
Thank you, Emily. We'll just have you observe.
Packets are deferred. Yeah,
right? Your voice was like coming across in broken bits and pieces. And
I have a question about that technically, Andrew.
Yeah.
If she turns off her video, will it enhance the transmission of her voice?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. You want to try to have Emily try it again?
Yeah, it sounds good to me. Yeah, Emily, we're going to have you read with your video off and see if it comes out.
Paragraph 2. Is that coming through?
Sounds good.
To be alone is to be separated from infinity. But how can this be if infinity has no end? No one can beyond the limitless, because what has no one can be beyond the limitless, because what has no limits must be everywhere. There are no beginnings and no endings in God, whose universe is himself. Can you exclude yourself from the universe or from God, who is the universe? I and my Father are one with you, for you are part of us. Do you really believe that part of God can be missing or lost to him?
Thank you, Emily. Sounded great. You can turn your video back on now. Well done. Thank you, Don. Good tip.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, that pretty powerful paragraph there. Don, would you read paragraph 2 again for us? I want to make sure that got through.
Okay.
Tim.
To be alone is to be separated from infinity. But how can this be if infinity has no end?
Okay, now hold on just a second. Just absorb those words for a second before we go on. They're very powerful. They came very quickly. To be alone is to be separated from a key word, a spiritual word. The ego just reads right past this and doesn't give it a second thought. This is a huge word. To be alone is to be separated from infinity. Now, your body that wants a hug is not infinite. I appreciate. I love hugs. If you know me, you've been in my meetings. I'm looking for a hug at the end. It's not infinity, though. It's an adventure. It's approximate. It's a reflection. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's no problems. No sin. You know, being together in the material plane. But at some point, something wakes up in you that is larger than a hug can hold, that is larger than the special relationship can hold. The spark lights up in you, and your body is now too limiting. This is a spiritual awakening. So now, when you see the words, to be alone is to be separated from infinity. Infinity means there's no space. It means separation. You know, this thing being separate from that thing is a trick. Infinity means a non-describable space or dimension or existence. Doesn't mean a whole lot of space. It just keeps going and going and going. Just like eternity does not mean a lot of time. Do you see the freedom in that? Do you see the non-linear nature of that word? Infinity? The ego thinks linear means A, B, C, D, and you know what comes next, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, and you know what comes next. That's linear thinking. Non-linear thinking, like infinity or eternity, is abstract. It's your true nature. It's way free. Way free. And a book says you can't actually understand it from where you're sitting, so don't try. But look forward to it. Look forward to the freedom that you can't possibly understand. It is from what you were created. You can always concentrate and make another world and bodies. Hey, did it once, do it again. No problem. It would not be limited. Okay, so now let's read it one more time.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to be alone is to be separated from eternity. I mean, from infinity. Yeah, but how can this be if infinity has no end? No end. Alone would have to be an end. Alone would have to be cornered, dark and separate.
I know. Yeah.
A phrase that came to me was, there's no trajectory in infinity.
Yes.
So
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There's a trajectory only in the material dream of an individual fragmented body. So that script is written. But not in truth.
No.
Trajectory is a current
space. No, the interesting thing about that for me is there is no end in infinity and there is no beginning in infinity.
Yes. Yes.
There's no reason.
I don't think there are very many people, if any, that can even imagine what that means.
No, not people. People do not imagine what that means. That is correct. People do not do that. Very good. Very good, Luann. Yeah.
So that means we don't need to think about it.
You don't need to think about it.
From a person point of view.
But just know that you can keep anything and you will keep everything that is valuable. So if you ever felt a flash of love and you said, I don't want to lose it, don't you worry. You'll get to expand and know that as a creation. All good things. All good things. All happy. Happiness, happy dreams come true, not because they're dreams, but because they're happy. That's a quote from page 388. Or 383. Okay, ready? Let's continue. Don?
Tim was reading. Did you want Tim to continue?
Oh, Tim was reading?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tim, would you continue?
Okay. No one can be beyond the limitless, because what has no limits must be everywhere. There are no beginnings and no endings in God, whose universe is himself. Can you exclude yourself from the universe or from God, who is the universe? I and my Father are one with you, for you are part of us. You really believe that part of God can be missing or lost in him? So the logical contradictions there are easy to follow.
Nice. Are you reading tonight, Jason? Nice. Okay, I got your mute. Jason, would you give us paragraph 3?
Yes. If you are not part of God, his will not be unified. Is this conceivable? Can part of his mind contain nothing? If your place in his mind cannot be filled by anyone except you, and you're willing it, filling it with your creation.
Yeah.
Place in God's mind. Extension cannot be blocked, and it has no voids. It continues forever, however much it is denied. Your denial of its reality may arrest it in time, but not in eternity. That is why your creations have not ceased to be extended, and why so much is waiting for your return.
Wow.
Okay. Nice.
Putting the kibosh on this whole aloneness idea. And then, Jason, I'm going to have you read one more sentence. Just read me the first sentence from paragraph 6.
God has given you a place in his mind that is yours forever.
Period. Whoa.
Yeah.
Tim, what do you got?
So this is almost promising to let me have my cake and eat it too. There's a part of the course that says, okay, duality is the illusion, oneness is the reality, oneness with God. And therefore, there's some part of myself that doesn't truly exist, the ego's storyline. All right. It seems to it at this level, but in fact, we're comfortable discovering that that's not true. But this says, nothing's taken from me by force, nothing's stolen from me against my will. Therefore, somehow, even as I give up duality and recognize my oneness with God and all my brothers, I still have, I'm still me in some sense. That's not been ripped away from me. And so it's like a juxtaposition of those two truths simultaneously. They seem as if maybe they're contradictory, but somehow in these paragraphs, they're not.
Yeah.
Comment on that or just?
Yes, so my comment on that is that there's only one problem and there's only one solution. The one problem is separation. Period. Period. There's not a whole bunch of discussion going on here.
Okay.
The one solution is unity. You can maintain yourself. In fact, bring it, Tim. We want your creativity. I want your interests. I want your specific ability to teach and to impart energy and interest in others. And all of the things that have become what you know as your personality to continue as a vector for love in the way that only you can give it and receive it. May that be a gift to all of God's kingdom.
And that is my place in his mind that cannot be filled by anyone except me.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
I want to say, can it be also shared with everyone?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's how, that's what oneness brings, is it's shared.
It's all available. Don.
Well, well, before Tim spoke and you just spoke, and Luann too, I was saying after sentence six, the next sentence is what we just talked about. God has given you a place in his mind that is yours forever. Yet you can keep it only by giving it as it was given you. And it that is absolutely what I have keep returning to in my sense of what's going on is that I'm not sharing. I'm not sharing what God has given me. Now, in that regard, I love to sing. I really love when I sing, it seems like, you know, my heart just feels happy. And lately, in the midst of challenging experience or perceptions, a lovely song will occur to me. Now, I'm 78, so they're not contemporary songs.
Yeah.
I'm not up on the latest, but I have, you know, those older songs.
They don't write them like they used to, Don. There's they no don't. Way that these songs would
not,
work, I know.
Not in the good old days, you know. But really, three times this week, a song has come to me in the midst of my kind of going like this, you know, at what's going on. I was blessed with a little, you know, lyrics from three different songs. So I guess I'm grateful that that Spirit is shining through, it seems like. They're helping me. I haven't yet experienced that they're doing anything for anybody else necessarily. But even that experience, my ego wants to say, well, wait a second. Are those coming from ego? They're just like, you know, they're kind of a distraction or they're a substitute for the real thing, the real gift of God's love. And I guess I think that actually I want to believe that it's Holy Spirit using what God's given me as a personality, as having a bit of endowments to show and express. And yeah,
very good, Don. As the workbook tells us many times, you do have a function. And it is perfect happiness. And if singing allows you to experience a happiness beyond understanding, as for many people, music does.
Yeah. Well, I would say at this point, I would hope that it's leading me to that experience of peace beyond understanding. It's cultivating that field, if you will. And here's a little bit of a obstacle, big obstacle, is I have thought that in order for, if I were to share this gift of God, that I need to be invited to do it. Mm-hmm. And that is to say, you know, I'd like to get a phone call. Hey, Don, we're doing a production of, or, hey, Don, we're forming a choir. We'd really like you to be part of it, you know, or something. Otherwise, my obstacle is I would just come up with some ego venue, you know. Some,
yeah. Okay, that is the ego.
Okay.
Where the song would have to be performed and heard by another in order to be complete. You get your ego, I would think, taking over. But let me invite you, though, to go back to what you were saying before, which was you love to sing. And I get it, to be on stage and share it with 100 people, and they all applaud at the end, and it just fills your heart. You bet. I love the idea. But that is two sips of tea. The complete experience comes from you loving to sing. And so I would like you to take time to meditate, and maybe even sing to yourself your favorite song. First, go to the car, close the door so you can belt it if you need to, but get it right. And then I want you to stop and feel that height of joy in the present moment. And you might even go to this extent. Choose the moment now. Might be that song, right? During that moment, that experience of high, a lightness of being and love of the music, that you would live forever. Find the moment now that you would live forever. And I think it might be you, Neil, is singing that song that you love so much.
Oh, Chris, can you come back in a minute? Okay, so here's the irony, what you just said. You know, you don't need a crowd. One of the songs that came to me was sing your own kind of music, or find your own kind of music. Sing your own special song. Find your own kind of music, even if nobody else sings along.
See, they don't write them like they used to. They just, it tells the story. It's vivid. Wonderful. Okay. Do it. Do it. Come into the present moment.
I do want to say, I'm not sure I fully accurately communicated what I meant. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for a crowd to listen. I was looking more for the universe saying, this is where you can best serve me.
I see.
That's what I was trying
to say. Yes, yes, yes.
And then if I try to decide how to best serve,
I see,
and lend my voice to inspire, to extend love to people, that I would just come up with some sort of machinations that wouldn't be the ticket.
Yes.
So that's what I was trying to communicate.
If you pursue sharing your love, then that manifests.
Okay.
It's just like the miracle.
Okay.
If you think limits on it, then you'll get the limits.
Okay.
But allow yourself to be available for that, and then you will, like a flower, comes up through the mud for everybody to see who wants to look.
Yeah.
Your singing would be there and be contagious.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Beautiful. I love it. Beautiful, beautiful thoughts, Don. Please sing to yourself tonight and expand that joyous moment.
Okay.
And say, this is how I want to live forever. You see, you go into eternity when you say the word forever, if you really mean it.
And I when you said that even a little earlier and now again, I can think of no better way to live. If I was living forever.
Yeah.
And I was singing, that would be the way to go.
That's it. That's it. Own that. Thank you. Luann.
I want to say that we are of all one mind, everyone who gets joy out of singing will receive your message of love.
You got it.
And when we're all joined, that will be your contribution.
Yep, and those who are too shy to sing, they will be a little more free when you do this.
Well, in my mind, I'm going to sing it to every one of you tonight.
Nice. Yes.
Thank you. By the way, that's a nice way to have singing every Thursday afternoon if you want to come and sing with us.
Offline, let's talk about that.
Got an invitation. Don's going to start a choir at Luann's facility. I love it. Okay. Everybody turn to page 480 in the text. 480. Ross, when you get there, would you start reading for us The Light of the Holy Relationship?
Yeah, my book fell apart a little bit.
Oh, book abuser. I had a girlfriend who's a Course in Miracles student, and she would toss her book in the trunk, toss her book in the back seat, you know, throw it in the luggage, take it wherever she'd go. And the back cover had been long gone, and several pages would just come off. Every couple of weeks, she'd lose a page. And she'd, oh, this is the page I'm going to read today. She'd just look at the back of the book and see what page was exposed. Oh, geez, yeah.
I can't find it. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Look backwards.
I don't know where it is.
We should just have Ross read a random paragraph for us. I'll bet you it's as good as
there
Ross.
There you go.
Just,
there you go.
Read us a random paragraph, Ross. Just whatever you got. Just read it. Just I don't care what it is. Go ahead.
The first sentence of though.
I got four. I got 478.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. Just read it. Give me a paragraph.
There you go.
478, weakness and defensiveness. I can't find anything after that, though. How does one overcome illusions? Surely not by force or anger, nor by opposing them in any way. Merely by letting reason tell you that they contradict reality. They go against what must be true. The opposition comes from them and not reality. Reality opposes nothing. What merely is needs no defense and offers none. Only illusions need defense because of weakness. And how can it be difficult to walk the way of truth when only weakness interferes? I can read part of the next sentence. You are the strong one in this seeming
conflict. And you need no defense. Everything that needs defense, you do not want. For anything that needs defense will weaken you.
Nice.
Thanks, Don. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the paragraph to keep out of that entire section, that and paragraph 5, and paragraph 6. Luann, would you read for us on page 480, The Light of the Holy Relationship, paragraph 1?
Do you want freedom of the body or of the mind? For both you cannot have. Which do you value? Which is your goal? For one you see as means, the other end. And one must serve the other and lead to its predominance, increasing its importance by diminishing its own. Means serve the end, and as the end is reached, the value of the means decreases, eclipsed entirely when they are recognized as functionless. No one but yearns for freedom and tries to find it. Yet he will seek for it when he believes it is and can be found. He will believe it possible of mind or body, and he will make the other serve his choice as means to find it.
In other words, it's mutually exclusive. Choose one at the expense of the other.
Unless you choose of the mind and make sure you get to it through the Holy Spirit.
Spirit of mind versus the material body. Tim, would you give us paragraph 2?
Where the freedom of the body has been chosen, the mind is used as a means whose value lies... I screwed that up. Where freedom of the body has been chosen, the mind is used as means whose value lies in its ability to contrive ways to achieve the body's freedom. Yet freedom of the body has no meaning, and so the mind is dedicated to serve illusions. This is a situation so contradictory and so impossible that anyone who chooses this has no idea of what is valuable. Yet even in this confusion, so profound it cannot be described, the Holy Spirit waits in gentle patience, as certain of the outcome as he is sure of his Creator's love. He He knows this mad decision was made by one as dear to his creator as love is to itself.
He knows this mad decision was made by one as dear to his creator as love is to itself. This crazy idea of freedom of the body, trying to end your sense of loneliness with another separate body. This is a mad idea. It's very reasonable to the ego, but it has limit at its core. It has a idol relationship. It is limited.
Well, sometimes Jesus makes me laugh in the way he, I mean, yet even in this confusion, so profound it cannot be described.
Yes, right.
I'm like, yeah, that's about right. From my side.
Yeah, it's like he talks about love. Love cannot be taught, but only known.
Right. I love the last couple of sentences in this because it means, let's take somebody like Putin. It means even him, the Holy Spirit is waiting and patiently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it.
I only have to worry about my own division between myself and what the Holy Spirit wants me to have.
Love is true. The truth is true. Nothing else is true. Don, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm reading this and think, okay, so now I've been part of a what you would call a spiritual choir. In fact, it first started at the center. It was, the singing was, the tunes were more ecumenical. And then gradually they became more and more sometimes chanting, but even the ones that were in quote-unquote English were less contemporary. They certainly weren't on the radio. And so my ego's going, well, are you just like going to, you know, my ego's questioning the source of my inspirations. Are they, am I going to be singing just for my body to feel good? Or is it going to truly help people join in their own spirit, in spirit?
I'll say it again. Have no attachments to what it does outside of bringing you happiness.
Okay, thank you.
Stay true to your love and your discovery of that key word now, pattern. Yeah. Your music is a pattern. Life is a pattern. And it leads you to happiness. Go all the way.
Okay.
Good, good, good.
Thank you.
If you're not happy, then there's something wrong.
God, what a paragraph. Oh, we got to continue, though. Okay, we've come around. Emily, are you there? You want to read for us? I got your mute.
Okay.
Okay, go for
it. Are we on number four?
Your internet connection.
This holy relationship. Lovely.
Emily? Emily,
we're still not good enough.
Still not good enough. Yeah. And we're on paragraph three anyhow. So.
I'm listening.
Okay. So we're just going to have you listen. You can turn your video back on. I think reading is kind of out tonight. Your internet's kind of tough tonight. Jason, would you give us paragraph three?
Yes. Be not disturbed at all to think how he can change the role of means and end so easily in what God loves and would have free forever. But be you rather grateful that you can be the means to serve his end. This is the only service that leads to freedom. To serve this end, the body must be perceived as sinless, because the goal is sinlessness. The lack of contradiction makes the soft transition from means to end as easy as is the shift from hate to gratitude before forgiving eyes. You will be sanctified by your brother using your body only to serve the sinless, and it will be impossible for you to hate what serves whom you would heal.
Ah, thank you, Jason. Beautiful. And it will be impossible for you to hate what serves whom you would heal. Luann, thinking of a Putin, I hope.
Yeah. I don't know how I am serving, because I don't know if his mind is open, but I do know the Holy Spirit is there inside of him somewhere.
And your idea, okay, your thought that Putin's physical mind could block the Holy Spirit from being true. Right? You have to drop that. Whether Putin thinks it or not, Putin's the concept of Putin is an activating agent of mind, and the mind shares the Holy Spirit, or it can lie to itself to the unholy spirit. And so Putin's ego will always be wrong, but Putin's essence will always be right. And you're simply choosing to see his eternal nature, not his time-bound body dream, his character.
Someday or another, I will be in connection with him.
You are now in the same way that Don is in connection with everybody who loves music.
Yeah,
he hasn't even met them, but he absolutely is in connection with them. You are in connection with Putin. He wants happiness. You want happiness.
No, I want to, well, if I could love and that's all I ever did, I would be happy.
If he could love and that's all he ever did, he would be happy. True?
That's true. I think. I believe that.
Oh, yep. You think?
Well, you know, maybe love isn't what makes everybody happy, but eventually...
Maybe you might meditate on that one. I think you might want to meditate on that one, since love is your chosen awakening.
Well, I think in the long run, all there is love, so... He's going to get there with me eventually.
something to think about.
Okie doke.
What do you got, Don?
Well, I the sentence that grabbed me was clarifying, I think, to what I was concerned about. To serve this end, the body must be perceived as sinless because the goal is sinlessness. So I was just need to perceive the body, including the songs that come to my mind, as sinless. Mm-hmm. That's really the goal, is sinlessness.
The goal is sinlessness, which doesn't mean that somehow sin was absent. It means there's no sin even possible. That's what sinlessness is.
Okay.
And sin means love, right? Lack of love, sinlessness.
Yes, sin would be a lack of love. It would be a block to love, but it does not. It's not an elimination of love. It's a call for love.
But isn't it our mind that does that? Because I think of the body as just a body. It's just a bunch of cells. It's not me.
It's neutral. It's not you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I look at it and don't worry about the hairs growing on my chin, but that doesn't mean it really makes any difference either.
Sin is a lack of love. Sin is the idea of separation, that you could actually not be love. You could not be all in all sharing in all. Therefore, loveless. And sinlessness, in other words, the impossibility of separation, is the goal.
I think that's mostly of the mind, isn't it? Not the body at all?
100%.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ross, would you give us... Oh, you can't give us. Ross, would you listen intently?
I found the page.
Oh, okay. All right, Ross, give us paragraph on page 481. Give us paragraph 4.
This holy relationship, lovely in its innocence, mighty in strength, and blazing with a light far brighter than the sun, that lights the sky you see, is chosen of your Father as a means for his own plan. Be thankful that it serves yours not at all. Nothing entrusted to it can be misused, and nothing given it but will be used. This holy relationship has the power to heal all pain, regardless of its form. Neither you nor your brother alone can serve at all. Only in your joint will does healing lie.
See, Ross is a Californian here, and marijuana is legal. So when he saw that word joint, he thought, oh, in your joint, there's something good there. Only in your joint will you be free. Take another hit.
It means that joint.
That's a higher truth.
Higher truth.
If the joint's not moving, get it moving. If the joint is in the wrong place, put the joint in the right place. That's for physical therapy.
Yeah, you gotta share.
Joint. I deal with joints every day that are not working.
Oh, a physical therapy joke.
Yeah, you gotta share that joint. Don't bogart that joint. My friend,
that was singing.
Pass it over to me.
You got it.
For here your healing is, and here will you accept atonement. And your healing is the sonship healed, because your will and your brothers are joined
together.
You see the circle?
It's all about joints.
It's all about joints. This holy relationship has the power to heal all pain, regardless of its form. This holy relationship. What holy relationship? Jesus? What? The previous paragraph. We talked about it. He said, this idea of sinlessness becomes real. It's the goal. You would look past the differences and see the sameness. This is the healing of the separation occurring in your mind. And then when you look out upon the world again, you're sort of bringing light back with you into the world. A translation can occur now because you've opened your spiritual eye, and you're not relying only on what your past and your physical eyes show you. So Luann can see past Putin's form, in fact, everybody's form, and see the holiness that's there. Wow. What's shared there.
Wow.
So we have time, I think. Well, barely. Let's see. How much can we get through this section? Not really.
A long one.
Yeah. So we'll come back and recapture all of this, because it's a good way to start a longer discussion. But let's continue with the few moments we have left. Don, would you read for us paragraph 5?
I'd love to.
Because he's digging into the holy relationship now. Blow by blow.
Before a holy relationship, there is no sin. The form of error is no longer seen, and reason, joined with love, looks quietly on all confusion, observing merely, this was a mistake. And then the same atonement you accepted in your relationship corrects the error and lays a part of heaven in its place. How blessed are you who let this gift be given. Each part of heaven that you bring is given you. And every empty place in heaven that you fill again with the eternal light you bring. Let me say that again. And every empty place in heaven that you fill again with the eternal light you bring shines now on you. The means of sinlessness can now no fear, because they carry only love with them. The means of sinlessness.
Yes.
Can know no fear, because they carry only love with them.
What a sentence. The means of sinlessness, the healing power of right thinking using your mind. Well, we're going to come back to this and study it fresh next week, starting with paragraph one and working our way through. It's a bigger discussion on foundations of a holy relationship and healing your mind's perspective. That's why I really liked that we began it with Tim's, thank you, Tim, with your discussion of the idea of alone and aloneness. It's so counter to the awakening of your capital S self in the holy relationship to everything. I mean, it's just a great way to start the discussion. So we will come back to this next week. Thank you. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Thank you, each of you, for making it real, for sharing your honest thoughts and discoveries and awakening. And it's really good to see everybody. Love all you guys.
Love you too, and all you guys.
Let's do it again. All right, everybody. When I say three, say poof. One, two, three. Poof. Poof.